Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team assemble!
Here we go. Here's the best of the best at DenverFan.com. Great writers, great contributors. Contributors?
What? You've been hanging around me way too long.
What the heck?
Great contributors.
Where did that come from?
There are some really good contributors that write for this webpage.
Folks, I'd like to remind all of you that I'm a highly trained professional
right. When
it comes to speaking on the radio.
Mm-hmm. He is, people.
Let's get to the first one, as we have Will Peterson writing about Nathaniel Hackett saying he doesn't want to lose Ejiro Evero. Sing-songy, three syllables.
Ejiro Evero. Thank you, Johnny.
You're now singing songs about
Can you send me that? Can you send me on my phone? Seriously. Text me or however you do your magic stuff. The him saying his name. Because I'll listen to it four times before I ask him the first question.
Just call him Double E. Anyway.
All right, Double E.
Hackett doesn't want to lose.
He's
Double E.
No.
How do you, because I've heard this argument that, hey, we, if you're going to move on from Nathaniel Hackett, the idea is, hey, you've got a guy who is a rising star, who will be a head coach in this league, maybe next year. Why would you lose this guy? Well, the argument has been that, well, then what you're doing is you're taking a guy and taking him away from his defense because you want him to be a head coach and do head coach type stuff. Mm-hmm. And that will weaken this number one in the league defense. Where do you come down on the argument?
I would say that if a guy can manage and lead a football team, that's far more important than being a coordinator. We can find coordinators, and you can groom guys, and you can teach them, and you can help them. But what have we talked about with the Jeff Saturday hiring and everything else? It's leaders of men. Like, I've been around some great, great coaches. Joe Gibbs, Mike Shanahan. Those dudes knew how to lead men and lead a franchise. So I would just say that if you think that guy has that ability, if you do, in fact, decide to move on. And again, I always preface this by saying, I am rooting and hoping, and I am a friend, and I like Nathaniel Hackett, and I want him to do, and I want him to figure this out. And in no way, shape, or form do I have my pitchforks and lanterns out. I'm not storming Dove Valley, man. I want this guy to be successful. I want this franchise to be successful. I want he and Russ to figure it out. I want that. I want it to happen this weekend so we can all breathe a sigh of relief. Understand that. But if it doesn't, and you think that guy's got that ability, then you've got to make a move.
And it's got to be sooner rather than later, because I do not want another first-time head coach. Enough's enough. I tried to warn people when we started this whole procedure. I don't want another first-time head coach. But people are like, oh, no, we got to have a first-time head coach. It's got to be somebody who's been touched by Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur, and this is the guy. It doesn't matter. Can we now say, maybe there's some other places that can figure out the first-time head coach. We can't do that here. There's two things that the Denver Broncos can't do. They can't develop first-time head coaches, and they can't develop their own drafted quarterbacks.
Right.
Yeah. So
sometimes you just got to know what you're not good at.
Yeah, stop.
Can I say one thing?
Banging your head against the wall. Yes, go ahead.
Ejiro Evero. DiGiro Ibero.
Funny you should say that. Because at DenverFan.com, Jake Shapiro writes about DiGiro Ibero, believing that Patrick Sertan is deserving of the Defensive Player of the Year award. Now, here's the problem. As of right now, Sertan is not among the top 10 favorites to win the DPOY. Part of the problem is he has no stats.
Sure.
He does have a pick. He has very few stats because...
He didn't have a pick, right? Zero picks?
Zero picks.
Yeah.
Nobody throws at him.
Right.
Opponents are averaging just 7 yards per reception on Sertan this season, which is second best in the NFL among qualifying cornerbacks. He shuts down the entire side of the field. Can you, since it's hard to quantify his play based on stats like we can do with so many other players at positions, tell me this. The Broncos number one in the league defense. How much of a percentage of that number one ranking goes to the fact that Pat Sertan shuts off one side of the field?
It's a huge percentage.
Well, give me a number.
Well, I don't know what the number is, but...
Just make one up. Not make one up, but give me a, you know, give me a number that you think represents his impact, that if you took it away, if you took Pat Sertan out and just put another corner in there, I don't know, put Ronald Darby in there.
Yes.
Okay? What... How would it impact the Broncos' defense? Instead of being number one, they would be what?
I don't
Instead
know.
Instead of giving up this many points per game, they'd give up this many.
They wouldn't lead. Let's just say they wouldn't lead the league in scoring. Because think about this. And I know D-Mac always likes to say, hey, man, he doesn't shut down one half of the field. You know, there's still. Here's what happens. When you got a guy that you can play lock, meaning man-to-man, and then you can do anything you want on the opposite side of that. So if he's running with the X receiver and he's on the single receiver side into the boundary, okay? So he's locked on that guy. Your safeties, your two high safety look, which they want to play a lot, you kick the other safety to the opposite side. So now you know what you have? You've got a corner, you've got linebacker, you've got middle linebacker, you've got two safeties on that side of the field, taking away those three receivers. So now we can double team, two guys on that side. And take those guys out. There's a reason they lead the league. They're the best pass defense in football. Because he takes away one dude, and now you can double team everybody else. I mean, think about that. And then he's taking away a guy. What does that do for your pass rush? What does it do for your edge? I mean, there's a reason that you can trade Bradley Chubb. Because you've got a guy that you've got young players that you want to develop, but you've got a guy that shuts down one dude. So it gives you an opportunity to have a better pass rush. It's so complimentary. So I don't know exactly what that percentage is, Mike, but it's what he does is huge, even though he doesn't compile statistics.
At DenverFan.com, Jake Shapiro writing about how the Nuggets being hit hard by the NBA's COVID protocols. So they've already had to be without Bones Hyland, who's come back.
Mm-hmm.
They're without Nikola Jokic right now, who went in the other day, missed a game. Now they're going to be without Jamal Murray, who's also entered the COVID protocols. There's only like four players in the entire NBA who's currently in the protocols, and the Nuggets have two of them. It happens to be their two best players.
What do they call that thing? They don't call it COVID protocols. They call it...
the health and safety
protocols. The health and safety protocols. Just in case. I mean...
They don't mention COVID. COVID does not get mentioned in professional sports.
Remember how the NFL cured COVID last year during the playoffs?
They did. It just went away.
It
no longer existed.
What? COVID what? There's no COVID here. Nothing to
and look,
here.
I'm not... We're not making light of COVID.
No.
What
no.
I'm saying is that it's sort of amusing how the professional sports world has said, COVID? What is this COVID you speak of?
Right. It's kind of like when the Griswolds went to Wally World and met John Candy. And he said, sorry, folks, park's closed. Moose outside should have told you. Right? Same
you
thing.
You love doing that.
Same thing.
You love doing that.
Same thing.
You love
exact
doing
same thing.
John Candy and vacation.
Sure. Because I got Wolverine blood, Mike.
Hey, man, this is what you're going to have to be doing on Sunday. Start practicing. Start practicing.
I've been doing my high knees.
High knees, yeah.
Here comes the airplane.
Big Mike.
Big bite.
I gotta write all the. I gotta write these down on my board.
Do you like write them down on your board? Especially like when you did the one with the different 80 songs. Did you literally have them like all written down on your prep board? The different songs and the different lyrics, and then you checked them off.
I just put a bunch of songs, a bunch of 80s songs from a bunch of different bands that I like. One of them was just purely off the cuff, and I was really proud of it because it had snowed the day before, and then it was like sunny and 50. And I said, you know, that we talked about the weather, and I go, well, hey, that's Life in a Northern Town.
Oh, that was totally off the cuff?
Off the cuff, Life in a Northern Town.
Genius.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So, wrapping up, the Nuggets play in Dallas tonight against Luka and the Mavs without Jokic, without Jamal Murray. Really curious to see how Michael Porter Jr. plays tonight. Because in the absence of Jokic the other night, you're looking for MPJ. We're all looking for signs that he's ready to go to the next level, make the jump, start living up to that huge contract that he got.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to start acting like a leading man, you know, not just simply
best supporting actor.
It's time to be a leading man, and tonight's the night I want to see him play and act like a leading man.
Right, and hey, you know what today is the time for? Is to step away from being a great shooter and start becoming a great scorer.
Ooh, there is a difference, yep.
Huge difference.
Yep.
And I'd like to see him start being a great scorer. By the way, I didn't even mention it, Dream Academy. Life in a Northern Town.
Correct.
Just for those.
Oh, I thought that was just...
I thought it was given too, but then I thought, maybe there's some people that don't really... It is. We're in the 8 o'clock hour. There's some youngsters out there that don't really understand great 80s tunes.
Will Peterson writing at DenverFan.com. Man, why can't we get players like this? So Paul Goldschmidt of the Cardinals won the MVP award, National League MVP award, Aaron Judge in the American League.
Right.
Paul Goldschmidt in the National League. Finishing third was another Cardinal by the name of Nolan Arenado. Perhaps you've heard of him.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. The good news is we'll get Aaron Judge, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're going to sign Aaron Judge.
Yes. Aaron Judge with he and Iron Man.
A lot of times, W.
Yeah. You get Judge and Iron Man in the same outfield?
Tonight it didn't happen.
Forget about it. Straight to the World Series.
So Nolan Arenado, who will be the Rockies' second highest paid player this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Behind Iron Man. Third in the MVP voting. Why you didn't just call his bluff? That was always my argument that, okay, he wasn't happy. Okay, you wanted out. Okay, you betrayed the agreement that you had with him, that you'd sign him and then build around him. You betrayed that. You lied. You didn't do it. But still, even when he demanded a trade, you could have told him no. Because people are like, well, then you run the risk of him opting out of his contract and getting nothing.
Mm.
I said it then, and I was proven right. There was no way he was going to opt out of a contract that would still pay him $140 million deep into his 30s. There was no way with the way that the economics of baseball were and are going
right.
that a guy that age, as great as he is, would opt out of his deal and still be able to sign a new deal recouping the money
right.
that he would be opting out of. So you should have called his bluff.
Here's what you
you traded
know.
Him for nothing and gave the Cardinals
and gave him all
million.
The money. Here's the deal with like when the players get older, if they're still productive, look at Verlander. You just become a mercenary. You sign one-year deals. That's how baseball works now. So why are you going to walk away from guaranteed money? I mean, that's more than generational money. That's until the earth ends. You're not going to walk away from that. Stupid.
Can't wait for the big moves that the Rockies have planned for
my gosh. You know they're just right now. Lying in the weeds.
What they are planning over there right now.
Oh. I'll tell you what.
Free agents
flying into Centennial. Here comes the airplane. Ooh.
Here comes the airplane.
So, Andrew Mason's going to join us here in just a second. But... So we were thinking about the phrase it pays, and this is the way we're going to go because it's all about Russ,
mm-hmm.
and it's all about some of the funny things that Russ has given us this year, and you, in your own inimitable style, will include it as the phrases to pay without making direct reference to Russ. You're just going to work them in. Yeah. This isn't going to be, hey, you know, when they went to London a couple of weeks ago, Russ was doing... Nope, you're not going to do that.
You're just going to work
the phrases in. So, this is Mark's...
I got to write them down.
This is Mark's assignment for the phrases that pay. If you're just joining us, he's got five that he needs to work into the broadcast. Okay.
High knees.
Yep.
Here comes the airplane.
Yep.
Comes the airplane.
Write it down.
It's good radio.
Yep, write it down.
I got to write it so I can read it. Here comes the airbrake. Big bite.
Big bite, yep.
Big bite. Wolverine blood.
Yep.
Blood.
And one more.
Okay, and one then more. It's spicy.
Let's ride.
No, you don't need to do Let's Ride. That's too easy. But if you can work in, without making direct references to Russ, if you can work in high knees, here comes the airplane, big bite, Wolverine blood, and it's spicy, dude.
Right.
Legend.
I'm here.
I'm here. That's a bonus.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Okay, right in.
I'm here. Too. I'm here.
I'm here.
If you work in.
I'm here.
That's the cherry on top.
Yeah. By the way.
But that'll be great, because if Twitter's still around on Sunday, the moment you work, each time you work in one,
yeah,
Twitter blows up.
Right.
He did it.
Right.
That's usually what happens. He did it. He worked it in.
You know what I was just thinking?
The phrase that pays. Hashtag phrase that pays.
It was a 70s band, Champagne. Some people are made for each other. That one?
Sure.
How about us? We need, you know, because our guy in the Players Club, Nate.
Yeah.
He can sing.
Yes, he can.
And he can put it all together.
Yes, he can.
He needs to, off of that, I think it's Champagne. Some people are made for each other. And instead, change the lyrics. Say, how about Russ? Right?
I like that.
Right? How about Russ?
He just had him work on some lyrics. Yeah, I like that.
Some, like player coaches. Some player coaches are made for each other. Some player coaches can win with one another.
Okay, we have now entered the
how about Russ
part of a Friday show here.
Oh wait, here we go, Johnny.
Oh man.
Oh man.
Oh, this is. Oh dude, this is baby making music right here. Oh. Since
the dragon. I'll be home in about 45 minutes.
Woo.
Let's don't keep hanging on.
Yeah, Nate could do this right here.
Clothes are just falling to the floor right now.
The if the fire's gone, we should both be gone.
Woo!
All right.
Some people is made for each other. Some people can win one another for life.
How about Russ?
How about Russ, baby? Some people can hold it
together. This might be your greatest one ever.
All kind of weather.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's getting steamy.
Man,
I gotta take my sweatshirt off.
Is Joel Klatt calling all plays?
Wow.
How about Russ? Jeez. Oh, we haven't had a Friday like this in a while. It's good. I missed it. Daniel Bard. Is it just me or Daniel Bard has more MVP votes than Russell Wilson? It's true. Daniel Bard got some. I think our pal Tracy Ringlesby put down a vote for Daniel Bard as MVP, like a ninth place vote or something like that.
Right.
Still one more vote than Russ got.
Yeah, he's never gotten a vote.
Well, forget about how about Russ. How about Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, who joins us now. Morning, Mace.
Fellas, how are you?
We're doing good. We're doing great. What number should I take to the broadcast with me? What number just sticks out for you as you've been breaking down the numbers and you've been looking at this Broncos roster and you've been looking at these games and what is astounding to you at this point? Do you have one?
12 touchdowns in 9 games. I mean, they literally have fewer touchdowns after 9 games than any Broncos team in the history of the franchise. I mean, in this, I figured if Russell Wilson had 12 touchdown passes through nine games, I think it would have been something of a disappointment.
12 total? Okay. Wait a minute. 12 total touchdowns?
12, yeah.
Wow. The Titans, they have 10 just in the red zone this year. By the way, the Titans are now 10 for 10 in the red zone, 15 for their last 15 in red zone.
Yeah, can you imagine what the Broncos defense would be right now if they didn't play the Titans? Because the Titans had, they were 1-for-1 in the red zone, right?
No, they're on a streak right now.
But the one score was from deep because it was and then that field goal. So, yeah. All right. They were 1-for-1. Anyhow, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just was depressed. So go ahead. Now I'm happy again.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, it's mind-blowing. I mean, I 12 touchdowns, you're literally, you're not even averaging a touchdown and a half per game. I mean, that's, and then the other stat, and I know it's been brought up a lot, is that literally if they'd scored 18 points in every game, they'd be 8-1 right now. So, I mean, it doesn't stop. It's just a deluge of negative stats for this offense. And this is one of those things where the numbers don't lie. This isn't like stats kind of deceive. No, the stats simply reflect just how bad it's been.
And it's not just the numbers that are depressing. Listening to both Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson talk this week, it's just so obvious the disconnect that's going on there. And what really came across to me, I'm curious if it came across to you, Mace, was the idea that Nathaniel Hackett seems willing to acknowledge, hey, we got to do some things differently, right? We got to be open to doing some things differently. Whereas Russ, whenever he is asked, whether it's about, hey, Nathaniel Hackett making things comfortable for you, or the shotgun versus under center, there was this tone from Russ of, oh, hey, wait a minute, no, I've done all this stuff before. We're good. Just we'll get there. I don't need to change a bunch of things, and you don't need to cater to me. That's how I heard it. How did you hear it?
I kind of heard the same thing as well. I mean, I've been thinking a lot just about not only what Hackett said, but even kind of looking at his career. And yeah, he's only had one top 10 offense as a play caller, and that was back in 2017. But I also kind of look at the arc of when he's been a play caller and what quarterbacks he had. He had EJ Manuel. He had Kyle Orton. He had Blake Bortles. Now he's got Russell Wilson. And so he wasn't exactly dealing from the top of the deck when it came came to the quarterback position. And yet Blake Bortles played by far the best ball of his career when Nathaniel Hackett was with him in terms of being part of an efficient offense. Kyle Orton actually played well right before the end of his career with Nathaniel Hackett as the play caller in Buffalo in 2014. And he, of course, we know what he did in Green Bay, even though he wasn't calling the plays, what he did working with Aaron Rodgers. And clearly Nathaniel Hackett's presence is missed up there right now. I don't think Nathaniel Hackett became dumb overnight, basically, right? I don't think that happened. I don't think that happened. That's completely illogical. He understands offensive football. So if you can't conclude that, it must be something else, right? It must be. Hackett's willing to do some different things to kind of get it going. So yeah, it was a kind of a. Definitely a weird vibe from that press conference this week from Russell Wilson. A little bit of a defiant vibe almost.
Mace, I went back and I dissected the Raiders game from earlier, week four, and I was almost shocked to see how much under center the Broncos played with, how many two and three tight end formations, how many 22 personnels with a fullback or 21 personnel, fullback, tailback, tight end, or fullback, tailback, and two tight ends. How many big formations they were in, and that ended up
you know, ended up creating the biggest score they've had all season long, which was 23 points, two touchdowns by Russell Wilson. Even ran a read play, you know, where they read the defensive end and he took it around the edge for a touchdown running the ball. So it, it definitely produced their best, I guess, offensive performance of the year. Why have we gotten away from that? And I know there's some injury issues, but why have they gotten away from that? And can they go back to it?
I mean, they can, they obviously can if they want to, because they have, it's not like they don't have this, you know, in the, in their playbook. It's not like they, it's not like they haven't worked on this sort of thing. They haven't worked on these sorts of formations before. So yeah, in theory, they absolutely can go back to it. The question is, will they? I mean, I think actually when you look at the injuries that have struck, especially on the offensive line since then, to me, that would scream go under center more, go with more two tight end sets. I mean, in that game, you had Garrett Bowles and Cam Fleming working at the tackles. Bowles is, has season-ending injury. Fleming, I think Fleming will play this week in all likelihood. I mean, he's still limited in practice, but he's coming along pretty well, it would seem. But yeah, it baffles me. They were under center more in the Texans game, and that wasn't the best game as well, but that was a game they did get going. They did get going and get moving in the second half. I mean, I compare the Raiders game especially to last week against Tennessee, when they decide, okay, we're going to spread things out. We're going to go 11 personnel. We're going to go, you know, we're going to go shotgun. We're just going to, you know, sit back and throw. And the other thing is, when too often when they throw out of those three wide sets, it's you don't see receivers running routes at multiple levels. You see too much kind of deep stuff. It's like there's hardly anything underneath intermediate. And when it's there, and when it is there, they don't take it. At some point, yeah, this is, you're like, okay, this is starting to fall more and more on the quarterback.
All right, Mace, good job. We'll talk to you on Sunday as part of our pregame show. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, fellas. Have a great day.
Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, and he joins us, as all our guests do, on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. Coming up next, I went on the drive yesterday trying to spread the gospel of Mark Schlereth, and Derek Wolfe didn't want to hear about it. That's next.
You're going to need a bigger push. It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
Why? It's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
So the other day I wrote a column at DenverFan.com about the disconnect that exists between Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson, and the idea that, yeah, ultimately the buck stops with Nathaniel Hackett if it doesn't work out, but that Russell Wilson could be more accommodating to trying to do things Nathaniel Hackett's way to try to get this thing going. But I sense a stubbornness slash selfishness from Russ that I think he needs to own and be criticized for. Mm-hmm. So I went on the drive yesterday to talk about said column.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, you'd have been so proud of me. I was there to spread the gospel.
Like it.
Of Mark
Schlereth. I like it. I like it.
And I was talking about how that, based on my conversations with you, that you can't be in shotgun, that if you want to get some rhythm back to this offense and you want to create some deception in your passing game, you got to be under center almost all the time. And I used your comments that you can't run the wide zone, which is the hallmark, the foundation of the West Coast offense that we have watched here for years with Mike Shanahan and Gary Kubiak, that Nathaniel Hackett was born and bred in, that he's all about the West Coast offense. This is what was promised to us, and that includes the wide zone running game. And I'm on with the drive, and I'm like, Mark is telling me, and he's been showing me film, that you can't run, that it's physically impossible to run the wide zone out of the shotgun.
Correct.
And Derek Wolfe said I was wrong.
Well, no.
He said I was wrong. No,
that you can run the ball.
Well,
out of shotgun, that you can run this offense, this kind of blocking scheme, out of shotgun and out of the pistol.
Out of the pistol, yes. Okay, the pistol is different. Out of shotgun, you can call it wide zone, but it's mid zone. You can't get wide because the angle when you have that underneath handoff, when that back is either plus or minus to the side of the quarterback, it cuts off the downhill approach. It cuts off the path. So you can't hit an entry point downhill in that scheme. It's impossible. It's physically impossible. I've talked to a million offensive coordinators. Well, not a million. That's an exaggeration. But I've talked to a bunch of offensive coordinators why you can't run wide zone. Matter of fact, Minnesota has gone to all mid zone. And they've done that simply because they're in under center a lot. But they want the mesh to feel more natural for the quarterback and the running back. So they've even changed their wide zone approach in under center to mid zone. So they've actually made the change going, hey, man, we're more of a mid zone team than a wide zone team. So you can't now out of shotgun, or I mean, excuse me, out of pistol, you can do it. But let me tell you just the conversation I had with Arthur Smith, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. So I said, hey, listen, I've studied your film and I know that Patterson, Cordarrelle Patterson is not playing this weekend. He wasn't playing. But I noticed when I was studying your film that he only really runs the ball when you guys are in the center. But your rookie running backs all running out of gun and pistol. And he said, well, because he's older and old school and he doesn't have the same feel and he doesn't like the shotgun stuff as much because he can't get downhill. And then he said, and in pistol, he goes, pistol's interesting because pistol, the running back can't see the ball. You can't see the ball snap. So you've got to, he goes, the younger guys who grew up in it have a feel for it that the older guys don't. So he goes, I don't even put the older guys in a pistol formation because it screws up the timing of the path that they have to take. So the younger guys have a better sense of when the ball is snapped. They've just done it enough to have that feel and that read for it. Because a quarterback standing right in front of you, you don't actually see the ball when it snaps. So you have to have a great reaction to that. So he's like, some of the older guys just don't have a good feel for it. So I just don't even put them in that position. But Derek is right in this. If you got into pistol, then you can run that path. But have they been in pistol? I don't remember seeing them in pistol.
No. If they did, it was just rarely. So what you're saying is that I was right, preaching your gospel, but I was right.
You're correct.
Wolf contradicting me, he was wrong.
That is correct.
Okay, good.
That is correct.
Right, well, Wolf, you're right, wrong.
You can still
now, call am I going to say that now?
Right.
Yes. Am I going to come down here and tell you to your face that you were wrong?
Right.
No. And if you're mad right now, fine, take it out on D-Mac.
Right. You could still
smack him around.
Mike, you could still call it.
Give him a noogie.
You could still call it wide zone, but it's not wide. It's not. You can call it that if you want to. You know, I can change the name.
But the fact that the Vikings, and they're 7-1.
Right.
The fact that they are 8-1. The fact that they changed it to more of a mid zone is that
right.
Maybe something that the Broncos can still do. You can still get all the benefits of Russ and shotgun, but still be able to run the ball the way that would please you, Mark Schlereth.
To a degree, yeah. Yeah, but again, it's just you're not pressing the outside now, and I would like to see that a little bit more. But, you could call it anything you want. I could call the toilet a loo. To me, it's still a toilet, right?
Or a water closet.
Yeah.
Coming up, we've got predictions. We've got the very popular, very fun injury report, and why Mark has two jobs.
Oof.
Today, when he goes over to Dove Valley to meet with the Broncos. That's all coming up next.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right, we got a lot to do here in this segment. Before we turn things over to the Players Club, first of all, you got two jobs today. And okay. I'm not, this is not Friday fun giggle stuff. This is serious.
Ooh. Ooh.
This was brought up by a texter, and I completely wholeheartedly agree. And
all right.
big responsibility on your shoulders. Because, yes, you are going over there today to do your job, mm-hmm. to prepare for the game. I got that. But you're also somebody who has enough respect over there in that building. You have the ear of Nathaniel Hackett and George Payton, and to a lesser degree, Russell Wilson, that you can go in there and just tell the truth. You can go in there and start throwing truth bombs. You can go in there and start sweeping the corners.
Truthiness.
You can go in there and you are one of the rare, rare few people in this town who can sit down across from Nathaniel Hackett and go, dude, what are you doing?
Right. What is the plan?
And you can point out the same criticisms with him that you've shared with us all week. And he'll listen to you. So you owe it to us.
Okay.
You owe it to Broncos country. I know it's a big ask, but no, seriously, you owe it to Broncos country to go in there and spit some truth, man.
Yeah. It'll be good, man. I mean, these meetings, I always learn a lot. I love the education I get, right? I love asking questions that I truly am inquisitive about. I really want to know when you walked in to this organization, what the plan was to create an identity and where you're at right now. Because, you know, when somebody asked him about identity, he said, well, it's not good. Well, it's like Russell saying, well, I've done everything in my career. Now, what do you need to get better? What do you need? Like right now, give me three tangible things that I can look for that says this is him recognizing your issues and fixing them.
Don't let him off the hook.
Right. Give me three tangible things that I can look for during the broadcast. That I can say, you know, ultimately we're partners. NFL, we're partners. Man, I want to see a great game. It's much easier to call a great game than it is a, you know.
That's true.
A dribble fest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd like to see that. I'd like to be able to praise the Broncos. I'd like to be able to praise the Raiders as well. I mean, I want a good game. I want a good, you know, a fundamentally sound. You can't continue to lead the league in penalties. And I know you've addressed it, but have you? Like, why? You're averaging like 8.9 penalties a game, 72.2 yards per game. You lead the league in both categories. You're dead last. You can't afford to give up 72 yards of real estate every game. You can't afford it. You lead the league in false starts, 19 of them. What? Through 9 games. Well, what? Like, explain it.
Good.
And how are you going to fix it?
Good. Good. And I'm not here to pump up your tires and give you a big head, but one thing that is different from you as an analyst, a lot of analysts play the game. Very, very few analysts really put in the work that you do. So that when you do go in and meet with these coaches and players, you start talking about the game and the team in a way that instantly these coaches and players are like, oh, he's looked at the film.
Right.
He's not just reading notes off the media prepared game notes. He's okay. And that buys you credibility.
Sure.
And they open up to you even more. They tell you stuff. So you got the credibility, man. Walk in there and use it. For your own purposes for right. the broadcast, but also to be able to report back to us on Monday what you learned.
Okay, I've got a job for you.
Oh, I don't work on weekends.
No. I've got a job for you.
Oh, no.
And you did send me a list of topic questions.
Yes.
Here's what I would like you to do. Things that you want to know. Okay?
Me.
You.
As a fan. Okay.
As a fan.
Yeah.
Like, you want to know why shotgun versus under center.
Ooh.
I want football-centric topics.
Okay.
That I can approach during a broadcast that I can educate you, the fan.
I like it.
So, right. This is why I believe you need to do this or this, right? So we can have that exchange.
So does this make me an executive producer for Fox Sports
Fox NFL coverage. Do I get like credit for this?
Yeah, you'll get. I'll give you credit right on this show. I'm going to give you tons of credit.
Time now for your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Always enjoy our Friday injury reports. So the following players practiced full and are expected to go on Sunday. They include, boy, not many of them. All right, Kareem Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Purcell.
They're all unlimited.
Okay. They're all unlimited. All right. Mm-hmm. Full participation. Latavius Murray. With a wrist.
Unlimited.
They're going. Darius Phillips, cornerback.
Unlimited.
No restraints. Look to see them. The following players are dealing with stuff and remain questionable. Baron Browning with a hip.
Hip.
Tom Compton with a back.
Limited.
Cam Fleming with a quad.
Limited.
Graham Glasgow with a shoulder.
Limited.
Jonas Griffith with an ankle.
Limited.
And these following players are not playing. Well, they did not practice, which means they probably likelihood of playing.
Slim. Yeah.
Andrew Beck did not practice with a hamstring. KJ Hamler not practicing with a hamstring. Jerry Jeudy not practicing with an ankle. And also Kendall Hinton.
Ugh.
Where did I see
him? Maybe he'll be forced to get into two tight ends and.
Kendall Hinton did not practice with a shoulder.
We are screwed.
No, I mean, we got, what do we got left? We got Virgil.
So if you don't have Hinton, Jeudy, Hamler, you've got Cortland, Jalen Virgil, and.
Would they bring up Johnson?
Oh, yeah. I liked him during
preseason.
Big guy.
89?
Yeah.
What's his first name? Mr. Johnson, I think. I think his first name is Mr.
His name's Mr. Johnson. I'll get it here in a second. Your injury report. It's right.
I have it in my book bag.
I know. I can see him running around. I'll get it here.
Okay.
That was your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Visit ZoomCare.com to learn more about their Beyond Better urgent and primary health care clinics in Denver and Boulder today. Time now for our predictions.
Prediction? Yes, prediction.
Hey, woman.
Okay. Here we go. What do you got?
I am going to take. I hate to do this. I am Brandon Johnson.
Brandon Johnson. Yes.
Brandon Johnson.
Yes.
It's not Mr. Well, it's Mr. Brandon Johnson.
Yes.
I'm taking the Raiders. You made great scorigami score.
Here's the difference.
Is there a scorigami that's never been full? I'll take the Raiders.
Here's where I'm going to go with the Broncos. They're both dysfunctional. They're both chaotic. They're both a mess. But I think Bronco players are still playing harder for Nathaniel Hackett than I believe some Raider players are playing for Josh.
They did have the. They did have the cry fest.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have, rally the troops.
Teammates look at Derek Carr up there crying like, what is wrong with him? Are they inspired by him or are they worried for him?
I don't know. Like if you truly were kind of Cadillacing through your rehab or whatever or. You know, not paying attention in meetings and things of that nature. Because you know Derek is. I mean, Derek is he's sold out. He's all in.
So in the somebody's got to win game, you're going to go with the Raiders. I'll take Broncos 20-17.
20?
Yep.
Oof. What are they going to play two games on Sunday? Hey, man, I'm thinking of your broadcast. I just want you to have as entertaining a broadcast as possible.
The first game, so they're going to score 10. So the second game, they're going to score another 10.
So I'm hoping, score 20. I'm just hoping that they get to 20. That's my prediction. I'm saying 20 because I figure if they get 20, then that crowd will be on fire. If they get to 20,
it'll we'll have a parade if they get to 20.
The excitement will be through the through the charts. All right, so just so in case you're just joining us, Mark is calling the game, and the phrases that pay that he is going to attempt, as only he can, to work into the broadcast, they're all Russell Wilsonisms. Yeah. But he's not going to be specifically talking about Russ, how Russ uses these phrases. He's going to just use them at his own discretion,
right,
throughout the course of the broadcast. Here they are. High knees. Here comes the airplane. Big bite. Wolverine blood.
Uh-huh.
And it's spicy.
Woo.
I'm here.
And
I'm here.
As a possible bonus.
I'm here.
Yes.
I'm here.
Wow.
I'm here.
Dude.
Mm-hmm.
You could be. You could.
Legend. The stuff that legends are made.
You could enter.
Could get me fired, but it's
maybe,
the stuff that legends
are
made.
At least you'll go down as a legend.
Right.
Our Broncos picks presented by King Soopers, official grocer of the Denver Broncos. Have a great call. I'll get that I'll get that stuff to you that you need.
Yes.
So don't worry. I'll get that done later today. The Players Club coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.